just to touch on a couple of other things that you should be considering if you're filing a retention application. If you are a lawyer, the U.S. trustee guidelines that were adopted in 2013 may apply to you if the case involves a debtor with more than $50 million in assets and liabilities. So in larger Chapter 11 cases, for example, the law firms are subject to the additional requirements of these U.S. trustee guidelines that have been adopted. You can find them on the U.S. trustee's website. Those guidelines are primarily for the review of fee applications, but there is a set of guidelines for questions that are required to be answered in your retention application. And those include questions about whether you agreed to variations from your normal billing rates, and if so, why. If there's a difference in the billing rate in geographical areas based on where the bankruptcy case is located, if your billing practice has changed over the last 12 months. And then also there is a requirement that your client approve a budget and staffing plan. And there are examples of those with the guidelines. The U.S. trustee wants debtors to approve budgets and staffing plans for law firms going into a case. And then those budget and staffing plans get it attached to your fee application later on. And as part of the review of the fee application, the U.S. trustee compares how much you went over budget or under budget and how much you varied from your staffing plan. There's also a requirement in the U.S. trustee guidelines to submit a verified statement from the client, generally of the general counsel of the client or whoever is reviewing bills, fees and expenses. And that verified statement has to contain certain information that's contained in the U.S. trustee guidelines. And that includes things like what steps were taken to ensure that the billing rates for the firm were comparable for bankruptcy and non-bankruptcy matters, or if they're not, what are the circumstances to approve that retention, notwithstanding that the rates are comparable. And then also, what are the procedures that the debtor has put into place to review fees and expenses and make sure that those are appropriate. So a lot of things to be aware of in the U.S. trustee guidelines that, while you would normally think only apply to your fee applications, they actually do apply to some disclosures that you need to make sure you make in your retention applications. And then lastly, just briefly, you want to make sure you check the local rules and also the judge's procedures in any of the cases to make sure that you're complying there. The local rules may have some additional disclosure requirements or attachments that you need to make. And then there's also, as many of you know, in the Southern District of Texas, there are certain requirements for nunc-pro-tunc relief, meaning having your application or your retention effective as of the petition date. If you make that application within 30 days of the petition date, it's deemed to be nunc-pro-tunc and you don't have to ask for that relief to relate back. So things to be aware of, check your local rules, check your judge's procedures to make sure that you're complying with everything before you file your retention application. And so now I want to turn it back over to Charlie to talk about an issue very near and dear to everyone's hearts in bankruptcy, disclosure.
Thank you, Kelly. Disclosure, as we're going to discuss here, as pointed out in the triple N case cited in our outline, goes to the heart of the bankruptcy system. It's all about integrity. And there are many instances in which folks find out after the fact that violating disclosure rules has severe consequences. The triple N case cited in the outline is just a recent example, and from earlier this year, and a lawyer's failure to properly disclose a fee-sharing arrangement, which was otherwise a normal thing in the context of the case, but slipped through cracks somehow. And the bankruptcy court in Triple N concluded that just like Homer giving out the red card on the pitch, cartoon on the graphic was an automatic disqualification. We talked a little earlier about how exciting it is to get hired to represent a client in a case. Well, if you're an estate professional, you better do it properly and you better have the proper disclosures in there, or you could suffer the severe consequences that the debtor's counsel did in Triple N, which upon a finding of inadequate disclosure, not only was the court didn't say, okay, you get a do-over, let's fix this. The court found that it went to the integrity of the entire system and disallowed compensation for the debtor's counsel in its entirety. That's not something you want to find out after you've done all the hard work to get to the point of finally coming up with your fee application and then the court saying, you shouldn't have done that. Because you didn't properly disclose,